Like everybody, thank. I'd like to thank everybody for reading, and everybody else can thank them too. And this time, I believe Trudy has agreed to go first, and I'll turn it over to her.
Hi, everybody. My name is Trudy, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Trudy.
Just bear with me, because I'm just a little bit nervous doing this. I didn't sign up to speak at a workshop. I had talked to the committee on numerous occasions about trying to get a rehab from Salisbury up here, and through that, they had my name. I guess they kept seeing it over and over. They just called me up last month and said, you know, we need you to speak in a workshop. So, you know, at first, I didn't know whether I would say yes or not, because I have a problem with a little bit of anxiety, and I've been up here praying my butt off, believe me. And but then they said it was Fun and Fellowship, and I said yes immediately, because Fun and Fellowship has been the basis of my coming here and staying. Just a little bit of history about myself. Long before the alcohol and drugs were a part of my life, I was very active. Very, very active, excelled in sports, and just in. I'm an external personality, and I've always had to be a part of something all the time. And after my addiction kicked in, and for the 17 years of running wild, running in and out of bars, and living the life 24/7, you know, when I finally hit my bottom, I didn't know how I would live without a party. I just didn't know how I would make it. You know, I didn't know how I wouldn't go into another club and dance, because dancing was everything to me. And I first came around in 1988, suggestions by my boss to find something or I would be fired. So I found this number in the phone book and I started coming. And I went to a women's meeting, and then that weekend there was an NA dance down here at the Atlanta Club coming into from 50. And I picked up this other newcomer woman that I met in a meeting. Me and her went and got a wine cooler together, and we came to an NA dance. But you know what? The first time I walked in there and I started just being a part of it, even under the influence, I knew that it was something about this was special. And honestly, that kept me coming back. That's the real truth. It kept me coming back, because I thought, well, they do a little bit more than just sitting around talking, and that's good. Because, I mean, for me, I had to have something else in my life. If I couldn't be happy and love life and be a part of it in this program, I would not be here. And this program has opened up many doors for me and allowed me to just embrace all the gifts that life has to offer. And in the beginning, it really, you know, I didn't really still care about all the, you know, life stuff. I still just wanted to have that instant gratification of having a good time. And so anyhow, I struggled with coming in and out of here for a long time. I relapsed off and on for four years. I had about 15 white keychains, and I just kept trying and just kept coming back. But I had a problem with letting go of that lifestyle and being around the people and going into the clubs. I said, if I just don't do this, I'm all right, you know. But it just took me until I hit that bottom, that emotional pit within myself, that I finally gave it up Christmas Eve 1991 completely. And from that point on, I went right into rehab, and I lived in a women's halfway house for a year and a half immediately after leaving there. And in the rehab, they took us to a dance. They took us to an NA dance, and it was like, man, I'm so glad that they have something fun to do around here again. It was just reiterated to me that there's more to it, you know. Staying clean and sober is my first priority, but for me, honestly, that really had to be a component. I had to know somewhere, it was like everything that happened in me in my path happened for a reason, because I had to know that there was some way for me to still have wildness about me, but yet I could do it being clean and sober. And I had to have some kind of security in that in the beginning. And when I went and lived in this women's halfway house, I joined a home group immediately, and I got a sponsor, and the first thing I did was join special events. I wasn't even a month clean, and I was working in special events. And I have not left special events since I've been here. And I've left one area and come to another, and I've maintained that as a part of my life. But that's just not all of it for me today. I have found out that I mean, I came into these rooms out of necessity to save my butt, you know, as a way of learning how to live all over again. But through time, I found out that I had a desire to come here because the fellowship part of it. I found that I had people in here that loved me, and I formed close bonds with people. And for me, there was a transition very early because I guess I was fortunate enough to be in a halfway house where you went to meeting every night. I didn't have that option of making a choice. I went. And I made connections with people in here very, very early on. And I found out that what I had lost and left behind was quickly replaced, if I allowed it to be, with positive and with good stuff and good people and loving people and unconditional people and just wonderful compassion for me, you know. And so therefore, I started being able to hang out with the women in the program. I did hang out with some men in the beginning, yeah. You know, and sometimes coming for the wrong reason, but I came and I caught a message in the process. You know, one day I was coming to NA, and the next day NA was a part of me, and I didn't even know when that transition took place, but it did happen. You know, and it became something that I just couldn't wait to be a part of again the next day. You know, I started finding out that the love in here is what the fellowship is all about. You know, being able to tell someone honestly how you feel and them loving me anyhow. You know, I always did hear that old saying, a true friend is one knows you and still loves you, you know, really knows all your stuff and still loves you. And I found that in here, you know, and I didn't really know if I had that out there, to be quite honest, you know. I just was wild and crazy. I have a friend that's here, fortunately, who just recently decided to come in, and she knew me out there. And I just didn't care about myself. I had no self-respect. No self-love. I went through life, you know, just I was really on suicide mission and didn't know it. And all this fun that I thought I was having, boy, was there a serious price on the other side of it, you know. And when I came in here, people started telling me how much they cared and how much they loved me, and you know, we will love you until you learn to love yourself, and just keep coming back and don't give up, you know. Hang on, don't give up 5 minutes before that miracle happens. And all those things that people were telling me. And I started seeing how real it was for the first time in my life. And I still had this overwhelming desire to be wild. And 4 months in, I was only 4 months clean, and I heard about this convention. And I took my little car, because I'm from this area anyhow, but I was living away in a halfway house, and I come on down here right on by myself, and that was the best thing I could have ever done for myself in early recovery, was experience the love of coming to a convention and how everybody just could have a good, clean time, you know, and just, it was just overwhelming for me to experience that. I mean, I think I cried the whole weekend, tears of joy. You know, because I was so early in and I was so influenced. This convention, my first year clean, was my deciding point to not go back out. And I just thank the convention committees in the past that continue to keep this thing going, and the one now, you know, because there's a lot of people that are going to be here this weekend that are going to be touched the same way. And that's a miracle that, you know, that person coming in is going to stay clean. And I can remember being to this convention. I bought this bumper sticker that said clean and crazy, because I had to keep that image. You know, I had to have that. I'm still wild, but without the drugs and alcohol, you know. And it's just wild. It's just, for me, my growth and my own personal assessment of it, I can see how it was okay for me at that time to be clean and crazy. You know, to experience life as its fullest, because I was tasting things that life had to offer for the first time when I got here. I mean, I was going through the motions for 17 years and missing everything as it was passing by me, you know. The real stuff and the real experiences are in here, you know, and I just didn't know that before. I mean, going out here and watching the sunset and 6:30 in the morning on that beach watching it rise, there ain't nothing that can touch it. But yet I'm still just like one of those specks of sand that's out there. I'm not no better than any of the rest of you in here. You know, we're all equal, we're all the same. And that's a wonderful feeling. I don't anymore have to compete, you know, to try to catch the man or try to catch the friends or whatever the deal is. You know, I can just be who I am and be okay with myself. You know, and through being here a few years, doing some work that was suggested to me, I've gained a lot of love for myself. You know, a lot of true joy. You know, when there's a smile on my face, it's real today. You know, it's no longer a mask. And then I bought me a bumper sticker last year down here, and it was just for today. You know, I've seen how that transition's been over the years. Today, I can still embrace life, have a great time, go to the dances, be a part of the fellowship, be a part of the action, you know, help bring other people into it and show other people that we can have fun in recovery. We put that on all of our flyers, you know, to let people know that there is a life in here. It's just not coming to meetings all the time. I mean, yes, that's a big part of it, and I have to do that on a continual basis to make sure I'm all right with where I'm at. But it's about also, after I walk out of that meeting, walk out with another one of you, and to be able to take our relationship out of here and to be able to live it, you know, and to be able to have that connection and to say, okay, well, let's go to dinner after this meeting tonight, you know, or let's go to a movie, or let's do whatever, or let's not do anything, let's just talk, you know. That's what I've gained. I've gained true friendships in here, you know, and I don't know, it all ties into me, for me, my involvement in the service work that I've been in since I came in. You know, and service is coming and showing up, first of all, you know. But I thank God for the people that encouraged me. You know, they said, well, if you got this big desire to be to these dances, well, we got a job for you, you know. And I'm glad they told me that, because it's become a passion for me to pass it on. You know, I don't have to hold a position anymore. You know, I can pass on that hat and show somebody else how to do it. You know, and that's what we're all about, you know. Giving it away so we can keep it, you know. And tonight I'm going to be a wild woman on the dance floor, and that's all right, you know. And if nobody else is out there with me, that's okay too. Hey, that's one good thing I found out about this program. It doesn't matter. You know, people love you despite your own self sometimes, you know. But I think for me, you know, the love that I've gained from being a part of this, from sharing these experiences, the good times and the bad. You know, I've come here and I've cried and I've worked through some serious stuff in the program. You know, in early recovery, I had a lot of stuff happen to me. I lost a dearest loved one in my life, my grandmother, and a lot of stuff happened. And I took it into my homeroom, man. I bawled my eyes out, you know. And they shared my pain as well as my joy, you know. And that's what this is all about. It's I no longer have to carry everything on these shoulders. I can allow you all to have some of it. You know, I don't have to. I mean, that pain is lessened when I give it away. You know, and that's just what I'm about, you know, as far as my program today. You know, and that's what I want to be about. I want to be able to give it and pass it on. It thrills my soul that a newcomer wanted to come with me to the convention. You know, I've had a couple opportunities since I've been coming around here to take a couple of newcomers, you know. And tomorrow night when we're doing that clean time countdown, you know, if you look at me, you'll definitely see tears. I don't know about the rest of you, but I know where my heart's at is for that newcomer coming in. You know, because I remember the pain that I suffered. I remember the hell I went through to get here, and I remember the hell I went through to stay. You know, and I give thanks for the women for not giving up on me, because they kept telling me over and over, you can't go to the bar and come here too. You know, and I just had a hard time with that. I just couldn't get it until it got me, you know. But people didn't give up on me, you know. And And it's real important for me to have that balance today in my life of having fun, fellowship, and peace and serenity. You know, today I don't have to go all the time. I don't have to be on the road all the time. And in early recovery, I did, because in my addiction, I did. I didn't know how to sit in my own skin for 2 minutes. You know, but through the years, you all taught me that we need to work a balance in this. You know, you can't always be up here, Trudy, because you're going to hit here. You know, so you need to be able to bring that scale on an even peel somewhere. You know, and to be able to learn how to feel good about yourself, you know, as well. And the fellowship of another woman told me that. You know, if you've been coming around here and you haven't connected yet, take that opportunity this weekend, you know, because there's someone out here for you as far as a sponsor, and all of us are here, you know, to hear one another. You know, that's what this program is all about. You know, take a chance on your own life to, you know, this convention and reach out. Reach out to somebody. Let them know who you are. You mean, you got these huggers everywhere. I mean, hey, pull one's eyes and listen, I need to talk about it. You know, whatever you have to do. You know, because you know what? As much as you may need it, we need it more. We need to know that we're still needed and need to know that we have something to give away. You know, because if we don't give it away and we just hoard it all in, we ain't going to get nothing new. And this thing ain't no cruise control. Either you're working on the recovery or you're working on relapse. You know, and that's what I truly believe about my own life. You know, I have to continue to go to that next level and to take that next step. It might be a little teeny weeny thing that I could barely see, but if I'm trying to make the next right decision and go to the next level with my own recovery, then I know that it's going to be okay, you know. And the only way I've been able to do that is to have a good sponsor in my life in order to help me get to that next level. And I'm bringing back to that fellowship thing. Without me reaching out and being a part of NA instead of just coming to it, I wouldn't have known that there's so much good stuff on the other side. You know, I know a lot of people in here probably heard that saying that in early recovery, if you'd written a list of all the things you hoped to gain when you got here, you cut yourself short 100 times over. And that's the truest statement. I could have never guessed that I would be okay in this skin. You know, I could have never guessed that I would have done all that I had done and accomplished, you know. And I mean, I've accomplished a whole lot of stuff outside. I've gone to college. I'm graduating this year. I never thought I could. As a matter of fact, I used to tell everybody all the time, I'll never make it. I should have went when I got out of high school, but 30, I ended up going back. You know, but that's still not even the good stuff. The good stuff is what's in here. And to be able to have a relationship with that higher power, I fellowship with my higher power all the time. You know, because my higher power is what keeps me standing firm. It's only through him that I'm standing here tonight, because I'm telling you, I've known that me and anxiety fit in my face. I'm probably all broke out anyhow, because that happens all the time for me. But, I mean, it's just a miracle, you know, that this program is giving me that too. This program has given me the fellowship and the love for and the love from a higher power, you know, that definitely is here in my life. And you know, before I didn't think that anything was more powerful than me, you know. And who the heck am I? And I'm just grateful for that, you know. These are the gifts that you get. There's only one promise, that's the freedom from active addiction. But man, boy, there's a lot of stuff that comes unraveled through time if you do what's suggested. You know, and it's stuff that you would never, ever even think that could happen. You know, when I have a dime in my pocket, but I'm still at peace, that's a miracle. You know, when I don't know what's going to happen around the bend, or I'm facing some dreadful decision, but I'm still at peace, that's a miracle. And that's stuff this program has taught me, you know. I just went through something recently about on the workplace, you know. My sponsors just She, on the phone, she was just, "Trudy, hold on 5 minutes before, you know, don't let go. Hold on, you know, don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle happens." And I wanted to cuss her on the other night because, boy, how many times have I heard that? You know, but it's still true. It still holds true, you know. And it doesn't matter, you know, for me, it may be different issues today, but I still have to work the steps. And I still have to admit my powerlessness. And I still have to come to meetings. And I still have to talk to those that I fellowship with. You know? And therefore, I make it through. You know? I make it through. Well, I'm probably cutting it short, but I'm really running out of stuff. And I know if I start talking too long, I'll tell a lie. So I just want to encourage you all to be a part of this convention and take the fun that's offered here. You know, and enjoy it to every extent you possibly can. You know, if you've come here with sadness in your heart, try to allow the love of this thing to embrace you, because it's a wonderful experience, and it'd be sad for you to be here not to be able to enjoy it. So I just want, you know, encourage y'all to have a good time, and I'll keep coming back.
At this time, I'd like to introduce Jeff.
Hi, family. I'm a recovering addict. My name's Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Did it go off?
Damn.
Okay. Where to start is that I am very nervous. Okay. I want to thank Trudy. I enjoy it. Fun and fellowship has been a part of my life the last 10 years. I remember coming into recovery early in the late 70s. I went to the convention in Atlanta, and I saw a lot of fun there. I saw a lot of people not using who were clean and had a smile, a genuine smile on their face. I tried to get clean for almost a year. They said I was celebrating a year in a week. I didn't even know it. I went out and celebrated that night and went out for 9 years. And I thought I was having fun, and I wasn't. I had no concept of what fun was. You know, the only fun I knew was sticking a needle in my arm, finding a woman, and looking for anything that made me happy, and nothing did. When I came back in 88, I went to a place called Green Street, which is a drug rehab. And we started playing cards. I think everybody's experienced that. We played cards for 24 hours. That's all we did. We'd go to our little meetings in the morning, we'd eat, go back to meetings, then we'd come back, we'd play cards. I got sick of cards. But it helped keep me where I needed to be, which was in the fellowship. You know, during that time in the rehab, 2 weeks, I got tired of everybody else's BS, and I started getting real. And that's when I had a lot of people that were there came up to me. Said, "You've got to relax, because I'm an angry person. I've still got a lot of anger. And after 10 years, I thought I would be rid of it." Wrong. And I catch myself every day getting angry over something. But I've always got somebody in the fellowship to look at me and say, "What's up with you?" And I look at them and say, I guess I'm angry. And that's, I guess it's a character defect and a shortcoming all in one. Because I'm going to have to work on it the rest of my life. But that's okay. My idea of fun in the beginning, well, the first 5 years, I should say, was coming home when I had a job, sitting down on Friday afternoon, writing checks to pay bills. I had fun doing that, because in my addiction, I never had the concept of what to do with my money except buy drugs. then that wasn't fun anymore either. Putting all this money out and going, damn, I could have got this, could have got that. So what I've had to learn with that is the big responsibility of pay my bills, and then I can get the things that I want. The fun in fellowship not only is within the fellowship for me, it's with my family also. Learning, to know who my family is. My mom's been involved with the fellowship for 28 years, so she knew me very well. For the past, I guess, 2 or 3 years, I've started to have fun with my family. I've started to have fun with my son. He's 11 and I'm 10. We would go out fishing, and he'd ask all these questions. And I'm sitting here thinking, I've got to make something up. And the more I looked at it, if I just tell the truth, everything would be okay. Then he had more questions. Questions on top of those. And so we started making a game out of it. I started to have fun with me. I started to have fun with my son, which to me is very important. And I'm very lucky my son never saw me in my addiction. In the early years of my recovery, I went from job to job, and I'm pretty sure nobody can relate to that. I've been in construction for 23 years, and this past 4 months I've finally got my own company together. And I stopped having fun. It was work, work, and work. So I took off the last 2 days to come down here and have fun. And I've been on the golf course since 8 o'clock this morning because the fellowship had a tournament. And I had a lot of fun. I laughed very hard today. There was a guy that a real good friend of mine that's never played golf went out there and played with us. So we had fun. We did very well. This, to me, is things like that, like she was saying, getting involved with special events. I got involved with special events many years ago. Coming to conventions, going to workshops, getting involved with your home group, getting involved with your sponsees. This is fellowship. I don't go to bars. I have with a bunch of other recovering addicts. But that wasn't fun. I sit there, why do I want to be here? Everybody in there thinks they're having fun, drinking or shooting drugs. And to me, that's not fun. The dances have helped me relieve some of the very shyness, uncoolness about myself, because I have no idea how to dance. None whatsoever. I got 2 left feet. But I do have fun. The way I have fun at dances, I like to watch people dance. I'm a watcher. And that's okay. I'll slow dance, fine. And I better get out there and do all that crazy stuff. I'm very uncoordinated. I look like the Tin Man dancing. But I'm okay with that. What it's all about for me is being okay with me. That's the whole deal right there. I never had fun when I was a kid. Now, my escape when I was a kid was to play baseball. Be competitive. Then I could have fun. That's what I was taught. Today it's not like that. I started the first NA team in Virginia Beach in 88. And it was a bunch of us guys who... some of us knew how to play, some of us didn't, but we went out there and had fun. We were 0-18, but we had fun. We had a little meeting before and a meeting afterwards. So I centered myself around you people. I had to. I don't know about y'all, but I was very manipulated. I was a liar. It's cheap. I stole. I did everything I could. But when I hung around y'all, I learned to stop doing that because I didn't need to. And the fellowship means so much to me. It has brought people back into my life who I thought I had lost. What you talked about your grandmother. In 91 or 1990, my grandma had about 7 strokes all at once. You know, and she lived for about 11 months after that, an invalid, and couldn't move. And I was with some other addicts one night, and before I was going to go to work, and somebody looked at me because I had been sharing with these people stories about my grandma. And one little story, you know, my grandma was 83 years old. I came home one day, she was changing a tire. I went up there to ask, you know, if I could help. She raised the tire, and he said, no, I can do it myself. I said, fine. So I watched. And a 90-pound woman, you know, could take me on with no problem. But to see her there for 11 months like that, it bothered me. So I was with these other addicts and we were talking. And somebody just looked at me and said, I think it's time for you to make your amends to your grandma. And I looked at him and said, I got that warm feeling. And I said, you know, I need to do this for me. So I went and went home, got ready, and I went into her bedroom and everything. I saw her eyes light up, and I saw her watch me walk in and stand beside her. She'd never done that before, and I'm just, this is getting weird. And I went up there, grabbed her hand, and she squeezed my hand, and then for 5 minutes, I, you know, made my amends. You know, I admitted my wrongs. And I kissed her, and she squeezed my hand and smiled, and I walked out the door. I went to work, and my niece called me 2 hours later and said she had passed away. And I had a feeling of, I don't know if it was gratitude or what, but I know she did not have to stay that way anymore. She was in a better place. And I cried, and I wasn't. Night clerk or auditor at a hotel, and all these truckers coming in, seeing me crying and everything, and just looking at us, say one thing, and I'll come through that glass. But most of them knew me. And stuff like that I've learned through this fellowship, being with other people, listening to other people's stories, how I can relate, how, you know, just one little sentence I will relate to. I don't have to relate to the whole story, but one thing that you say, I'm going to relate to. And this is when I learn. You know, being able to have fun used to be a job for me. I had to make myself have fun instead of just being natural and going out and having fun. That was a weird concept for me. Having fun, what is fun? Going to, like I said before, to dances and all kind of other places, and letting me be me. That was the main thing. Before I moved to Atlanta, I went out and tried out for a semi-pro baseball team, made it, then I moved. You know, said, oh well, no biggie. And when I started the softball team, I played for like 6 years, and it turned from fun to competition to I don't want to play no more. And baseball is my first love. I can sit there and watch my Braves play on TV all day long. And have fun doing that. But as far as my competitiveness is, and the people that know me, I'm very competitive. Very. But I'm not competitive in how I work the steps, how fast I work the steps, and how much I share, how much I don't share. Because I don't have to be competitive to fellowship. But when it's sports, I don't know what it is. I've got to drive. just like golf today. I'd find myself getting real competitive, and I'd shank it, hook it, whatever, and the next shot would be okay. What I've learned to do is calm me down, and I've got to go inside here. That's what it's all about for me, because I don't have to impress anybody in here, even though I want to. I don't even have to impress myself. All I've got to do is be Jeff. That's all y'all ask for. I want to come in here and tell y'all a story that'll knock your socks off, but it's like I wouldn't know where to begin. It's something about this fellowship has this warm glow to it. Where else in the world can you go to that's free and be one of the largest societies or one of the largest fellowships in the world? And nobody asked anything of you except to stay clean. I too went to college after 18 years of being out of school and got my degree. Only through the fellowship people saying, you can do it, you can do it. Not pushing me on, but walking beside me and saying, it's okay, it'll be all right. This is what I get from the fellowship, support. I get overhanded sometimes with my sponsees because I want them to get the freedom that I've experienced, like working through the fourth step, doing the fifth step, experiencing that freedom. But what I've learned is it's not a race anymore. I'm going to do the steps in my time. I'm currently on my second fourth step. And my sponsor just looks at me and said, you ready? I said, no. I said, okay. And I asked him, he said, it's none of your business. I'm like, okay, I won't ask no more. But what I've also learned that, having sponsees, it's a two-way street, because sometimes I need my sponsees as much as they need me for guidance, support, and having an ear to really rip off when I start talking. Because I've gone through a lot of anger. I've gone through a lot of setbacks in recovery. I've hit my bottom twice in recovery, financially. And it's because I wanted to give. I wanted to people please. I wanted to caretake. For the past 6 months, I haven't done that. And I've seen some of the people who were my friends, and I still believe they still are, have kind of moved away. That's okay, because I have more money in the bank. I can come here and spend money. I can play more golf. I can buy more expensive toys. But for a while, that's what it was for me. I'd go out, buy a monster truck, play with that, get tired of it, sell it, go get me something else. Now I'm starting to get real. I've got me a regular pickup truck. And I don't have these fancy cars anymore, fancy trucks. Like I said before, I'm starting to get me again. This is what it's all about, finding out who I am. And I don't know if I'm going to find out what my purpose is. I know God's will for me is to stay clean. That's the number one thing. Then everything else falls into place. And my higher power is God's love. And I do have a God of my understanding. Through this fellowship, I found God. I found my higher power. That's one of the most important things. If I don't have the God of my understanding or my higher power, I don't have me. And I have been lost in this fellowship because of my spirituality being very small or lacking. One thing about my son that always gets me is, you know, if I'm feeling down or if I haven't been to where I need to be for a while, let's say, are you going to your home group? Are we going to a meeting tonight? When I have him, because he lives in New Jersey. And when he comes down to visit, are we going to a meeting tonight? Because he sees something in y'all that I see. I don't know what he sees, but, you know, he I don't know how to explain how he generates the pull that he gets from other addicts, my other friends in the fellowship. He's like a magnet. And yeah, I always know if I'm down and out and I'm not thinking about going to a meeting and I got my son, you can bet I'm going to a meeting that night. Because my son will say, hey, let's go. 7:30. It's 7:45. It's 8 o'clock. We're late. Okay, let's go. Learning to have fun is what I'm doing. And I think the God of my understanding doesn't play tricks on me. Praise. He might play practical jokes on me. But he also allows me to say, hey, if somebody needs me for something serious, or if I need to do something in the fellowship, I'll do it, and I'll find out the reward after I do it. Coming here and speaking, I'm still nervous, by the way, is giving me some more insight. And it's not that I'm hearing myself, but I'm listening. I'm listening to the inner me. It's okay to act 10 years old at times. Then it's okay to act 39 at times. And sometimes I think when I act 39, I'm 10 years old. You know, but without the fellowship, without you people, I don't know where I would be. I can honestly say that. Because I'm a stone cold junkie. Period. And I would have done anything to get what I needed. But on the reverse end of that, I'm doing anything that I can to get the recovery that I need. I'm not perfect, and I thank God for that. I'm running short on stories too, but remember, if you don't pick it up and you're new, keep coming back, and you can't get high if you stay around the people in the fellowship. And that's the bottom line. I would say my favorite saying, but I refrain from that. If you want to know, just come see me after. But the only thing I'd like to say is enjoy this weekend. Grab somebody if you need to. And have fun, because you're in the fellowship. Thank you.
This meeting does go on until 7:15, so if anybody wants to share, you can come up to the mic. And before anybody does that, please remember that there are other addicts who might want to share, so don't hold anybody hostage. It doesn't say that, but I just made that up. But anyway, you get the message. And if you don't want to be recorded, please inform this guy right over here taping, and he'll turn off the recording. And,
I mean, I
had
the choice of
that. Come on up if you want to share. If not, we'll close.
There we go.
My name is Russ. I'm an addict.
Hey, Russ.
I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for the fellowship. And it's become a big part of my life. When I first got clean, and I used to go to this Saturday's men's group, and it was a men's rep. And I could relate to the guys because it was just all guys. And it was early in the day, and I was real sick. And I needed to be around recovering people because I would wake up with the obsession to use. And I started going to this meeting regular on Saturday mornings. And these guys had a routine. And after the meeting, they'd all get together and they'd go hit the Chinese buffet and hang out. And every Saturday they would ask me, Russ, come on along, man, we have a good time. And I refrained from that. And because I didn't know what fellowshipping was about. You know, I thought it was just about going to meetings and hearing the message. And it was a process for me to get involved with the fellowship and hanging out. And finally, there was a guy, he was a big guy, about like Jeff, you know, and he'd stand by the front door, and we'd call them bug catchers because when the meeting was over, man, I was out of there. And one day, he like stood in front of the door, and he said, Russ, where are you going? And he trapped me, man. He got me, and that's how it started for me. So I started talking to him, and next thing you know, I started hanging around a little bit. I started going out for the coffee and the food, and it's what I enjoy doing now. It's what I enjoy doing. I look forward to going to a meeting, hooking up with my friends, and going out and eating, and I enjoy it. Like Jeff was saying, the dances, they're cool. I learned that that's part of our ninth tradition. Fellowshipping is part of our ninth tradition. Learn this. For me, hanging out, going to the events, the special events, I enjoy. For the first time, like Jeff was saying, sometimes I think I'm a kid. I went roller skating. I haven't done that since I was about 14 years old. And I enjoyed it. And I had a good time. And I got blisters on my feet to prove it. And I was sore the next day, and I felt good. And I remember when I was in rehab, and the drugs and the alcohol, they left, and everybody was saying, man, what's there to do? I'm bored. I couldn't relate. I could not relate. I was having a good time in recovery, and I'm doing the things. I'm not just coming here and hanging out and fellowshipping. I know a lot of people that do that. If that works for you, that's great. I do the things that I need to do to stay clean and get better. Because my sponsor tells me all the time, do you want to stay clean or do you want to get better? And for me, I want to get better because I'm a sick individual. I can relate to a lot was said. I enjoyed coming to this convention, man. I'm having a good time. I come down here by myself because I'm okay with me today. When I first come around, I needed, like Jeff was saying, I needed to be surrounded. Like Trudy was saying, I needed to be surrounded by people. I didn't call it fellowship when I first come around here. The obsession to use was so bad for me that I called it babysitting because people had to babysit me because I wanted to use. I'd go to people and say, man, I want to use. And they'd be telling me about some shit. I said, but you don't understand. I want to use. But I understand today. Today I wanted to use. They didn't want to use. They wanted to stay clean. I wanted to use. And they would hang with me, man. They would babysit me till they knew, you know, I was okay to be by myself. And if it took 3-4 o'clock in the morning, just hang with me. So I just hold on and not use. That's what it took. And so I was learning how to fellowship, how to be with people, how to interact with people. Because my disease got me to where I was isolated. I could not stand being around anybody because you're going to take what I had. And the fellowship has taught me how to be with people and interact with people. And it shows in all my affairs. I'm pretty popular where I work at, man. People want to be around me at work, even though they might not be in a fellowship, but people want to be around me. They enjoy it. They call me up. People that don't have no program, they tell me, hey, we're glad to have you working for us. And I didn't have that shit when I was out there using. People would tell me, like, oh, it's that fucking guy again, you know. Why don't you quit? You know, they would tell me shit like that, man. They didn't want me around there. They didn't want to hang out with me after work. Today, it's a lot different, man. It's a lot better. I'm having a good time, and I'm enjoying it, and I like the topic, fun and fellowship. Because I didn't know how to have fun out there. My perception of fun was really distorted. Sitting in the bathroom for a weekend shooting dope is not fun. That was not fun. That was my idea of fun. Today, my idea, my perception of fun has changed. And that's all I got, and I'll keep coming back.
Thank you. My name's Sean. I'm an addict.
Hey, Sean.
I don't know. I figured it was a pretty small crowd, so I'd say something, you know. If it was a big crowd, I'd be a little hesitant. But I'm trying to compare, like, when I first came around, what fun was, and then now, what fun is. And when I first came around, fun to me was like just being, I don't even know what fun, I didn't know what fun was. That's the bottom line. That would be the truth to say. I had no idea what fun was. And today I think the only thing I know how to do this fun is run, like actually jog, you know? And I mean, you know, I never thought, I mean, I smoked so many cigarettes that, you know, I could fill this whole room up with as many cigarettes as I've smoked in my life. I mean, it's not funny. It's true. And basically, I just never knew what fun was. And fellowship, you know, today, you know, I have like friends, and I never really had any friends before I came into the program. I mean, it sounds like a lie, but, you know, I just knew people. Nobody I could sit down and say, you know, this is how I'm feeling. These are my feelings about, like, why. Because I think sitting around today, focusing on asking the, like, eternal question, why, about, you know, just why, the question, you know, why? Why are we here? Why am I standing here in front of, you know, a couple people? You know, why are we at a convention? Well, I know we're trying to, you know, it says it right here. Glad to be alive, you know. You know, I'm glad to be alive today. I never really knew how to have fun, and I just figured I'd come up and share that with everybody that, you know, I didn't know how to have any fun. And this is kind of fun to me, because, you know, I'm getting out of myself and just standing up here and looking. I just looking and making eye contact with everybody in this room is basically fun to me, because I couldn't have eye contact with anybody in my life. You know, I just wanted to be left alone and not look at anybody and make eye contact. And, you know, it means a lot to me that I could just stand here and be comfortable with myself. Like the lady had said and Jeff here had, you know, you guys are just comfortable with being yourself. And I don't know, I mean, my mom always told me, like, empty wagons make a lot of noise, you know what I mean? And I'm not gonna stand up here and say a lot of stuff, because, you know, I could probably go on about my life, you know, because I got some things going on, believe it or not, you know? And it's, you know, the truth is, I don't know how to express how happy I am, but by just coming up here and looking at you guys and saying, hey, you know, this guy is sitting over there, it's a happy guy, and that's me, I'm happy. And, you know, I'm not going to go on, but, I hope somebody else will come up and just, you know, feel what I'm feeling, because I feel really good just standing here, you know? I mean, just standing here clean in front of, you know, 20 people, if that, you know, about 20, and just feeling happy. You know, so I'm not going to go on. Thank you for letting me share. You know.
Thanks for sharing.
We're running out of time, right?
Maybe about 5 minutes.
Hi, I'm Kathleen. I'm an addict.
Hey, Kathleen.
I can't believe I'm up here either. Thanks for giving me the courage to come up. I'm really new into recovery. My sponsor brought me here, and I kind of want to thank her for doing that. I'm having a really good time, you know. I told her, if she had told me a year ago that I would have walked up to a convention like this to be with, you know, addicts, I would have said, I don't think so. And when I came up today, it was really amazing to see people smiling and hugging and people with their kids, you know, and talking to their kids and not beating the crap out of their kids. I mean, just people, you know, relating to each other and having a good time. And that's just something when I was using drugs. I mean, I just couldn't do. We were talking about today, and I always had plans to, like, have fun, do things, but I had to get, you know, high to do it. And then I get so high that I didn't want to do it, you know, so I would just end up doing nothing. Since I'm clean, I want to do stuff. And I got this morning, I walked the beach, you know, came here, laughed. You know, I just met people, hugged people, and it was fun, you know. And I'm going to have a great time while I'm here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Sherry.
Hi, I'm an addict. My name's Bill.
Hey, Bill.
I don't know. I've always told if I don't share, I don't get better. I don't know. I only came down here with a couple people, and they're off in a hotel room somewhere doing, watching TV. And I'm from a small area and a small region, and big conventions just scare the hell out of me. I'm afraid to reach out and say, hey, my name's Bill, give me a hug or whatever. You know, you people are different. I'm special. It's that type of thing. And you know, it gets me real sick. And I was thinking, well, you know, I don't want to stay sick. I love fun. You know, I like to fellowship, and, you know, I like to do the Eden Park thing or the movie thing with, you know, other recovering addicts. And, you know, I was thinking, well, maybe if I get up here and get out of myself a little bit and share where I'm at, then maybe I'll put myself in a better mindset that I'll be able to reach out. And, you know, I'm really glad to be here. I was at this convention. It was like number 4 or something like that. I came, like, I had a day clean. Well, of course, I didn't tell anybody I had a day clean at that time because I thought that they wouldn't let me come. You know, and I've been around a little bit. I don't want to give the impression that I've got that much clean time. I've got a little over a year clean now. You know, I relapsed after 4.5 years because I thought I was cured, you know, and I didn't, you know, I realized now I was a real sick individual, you know. But, and my mind's gone blank, so that means, you know, I need to shut up. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Sherry.
And we are out of time, and I'd like to thank everybody for a good meeting. This time, Bill's got just for today.
Still an addict, please, Bill. Okay, just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program I will try to follow to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
If we can just do the traditional circle and,
We have a strange circle.
It's the media.
Yeah, we're good at making lines.
That's a good topic. I like it.
God, grant us serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep on the back, the worst can be living.
Thank you.
You're not going to Edwards, man. You don't have to bring your own page.